There was a trend in the late 90s and early 2000s where many So I just need to write out whether they put in adding livestock or technology or something else. So with all these numbers in mind. Also for your information, I identified all the occupations that were ever listed in the blue book into all the different categories. So you know exactly who is and who's in the public safety military category or who's in the real estate category, what sort of occupations are coming there. And instead of having 25 different occupations, knowing that that chart was general, I decided to consolidate it even further down to 13, and that's their last tax data. And the results were pretty similar. And again, the trend is increasing towards business, small business, and technology, and the other territories, the primary occupation. And we're certainly increasing in law and as an extra resource. So again, I think this is interesting data for you to consider as you think about the people who come to serve in this body. What is their occupation total today, and what kind of people are you trying to attract in this body? Who is here in the past and who's here now? Who knows the future?
Would you reduce the gift from 13 to 10?
Oh, I took out a couple different categories. Out of the 13, I just took the lowest category out of it.
Oh.
Kind of clean up the chart a little bit. Would you want to get this? Oh, sure. Also in my packet, I've posted out a number of decisions off of the law concerning Citizens Commission on Salaries for Elected Officials. This is a fabulous website related to the Washington Compensation Commission. It's something that our committee chairs and other commission members have talked about over time, at least since we went to Olympia, on how they set their budget for compensation to compensate for other elected officials. It's a 16-member commission, and one of the unique aspects is that 9 of their members are selected out of the voter rolls and keep their 9 congressional districts. They become random public members on this commission. The other interesting part about this commission is that when this commission decided in terms of their compensation for elected officials, it goes into effect without any sort of action from the legislature. So I just printed out a number of key pages off the Washington website, and you'll see the actual website address down here at the bottom of the page. But I've also given you copies of the Oregon Public Official Compensation Commission statute associated with that. I think those are some of them.
Experience in the constitutional issues that come up. with legislation in this area. I've reviewed the Washington plan, and what Washington has is a specific constitutional amendment that provides for the 16-member commission that Ms. Taylor was talking about earlier. As you said, 9 of them members are selected by lottery from the 9 separate districts, and they are public members. There are also 5 members that are appointed jointly by the president and the Speaker of the House in Washington. And then there are some additional members from the Personnel Commission, which is similar to our Department of Administrative Services. What really distinguishes Washington from the plan that is from our current legislation is that there's a constitutional amendment. And just to give you an overview of the issues with respect to our Public Officials Compensation Commission and how that is distinguished is that our Public Officials Compensation Commission is empowered just to make recommendations and is advisory in nature only. In reviewing the history of the commission, the last time the commission prepared a report was in 1999, and the recommendations of the commission are not binding on the legislative body, and there has to be your consideration. And projecting onto why, if there is why that was done, is when we attempt to set salaries by legislation without constitutional amendments, Washington has done, there are 2 constitutional provisions that may be violated by that legislation. One is separation of powers doctrine by delegation of authority improperly to another body and to another branch of government. And second is separation of power by doing the functions that are properly given to another branch. Can you speak to the constitutional issues arising from the legislation?
I think it's something, by the way, sorry, Madam Chair and members of the Commission, I'm Dr. James, senior deputy for the Legislative Council. I think some of you have a copy of 1472. I think that's what they're calling. Speak about it. What that legislation would do change the Commission so no longer just make a recommendation to the legislature that would then have to change the salaries currently set in statute. And the legislature will change those salaries. The bill would make it so the commission would actually establish the salaries, and those salaries would become the salaries for all of those named officials, including judges, executive branch elected officials, as well as legislators. Those salaries would become the established salaries unless the legislature, within 60 days of going into regular session, passed a bill to amend or repeal those salary levels. And all of that is subject to the legislature's authority to appropriate money. So the legislature never loses, and cannot lose, its authority to appropriate money, but it could delegate lawfully its authority to establish salaries. We meaning folks in my office, have several questions about how constitutional this bill would be. Those are question of whether the commission, the state commission, has reformulated this bill. They would be executing the law, so they're an executive branch agency. They're executing the law that the legislature has passed. So the constitutional question is whether an executive branch body, the commission here, can set the salary levels for other branches of government. Could this executive branch body set the salaries for the legislative branch, for the judicial branch, for the judges? That's an open question. We don't know the answer to that one yet. The second question comes up, the way the bill has been formulated, they would establish the salaries. The question is, question of whether that established salary can be binding on the legislature. The law says they would become the salaries unless they're passed the bill. So of course, that's always something to the legislators before they appropriate the money. Right? So if the legislature didn't appropriate the money, then the salaries wouldn't be binding. So
that we were in communication with the Washington Commission and the appropriation issue. We just wanted to highlight that for you because no matter what we do by statute, the legislature would still be in the position of having to appropriate the money, so there would still be that decision-making process. In Washington, that has not been a problem. Co-Chair Seeley pointed out to me that Washington has one large budget bill, and that's maybe what keeps that from being an issue. And I also wanted to point out that our best recommendation in terms of not having any constitutional issues would be to make this change in the way that Washington has done by a constitutional, not amendment, but a revision. Because we discussed the issue of amendment, and there's a separate constitutional problem that comes up in doing it that way. That is the Armada issue of whether the bill or the revision, I'm sorry, the amendment would contain two subjects. And there is a case that is in the Supreme Court that may at some point be issued in the near future that would give us additional guidance on that. But our best recommendation at this point would be to do a revision. As you know, that would require a two-thirds vote in both houses and for a joint resolution and then affirmation by the voters.
So the theory behind the Citizens Commission, as well as the LC 1072, which was one of the final things of the legislature,
recommendation. section in that it says that shall be binding unless the legislature chooses not to follow. I'll let Doug speak to that one.
Maybe it does. There have been some attorney general opinions that said that the legislature can't delegate its authority to another body to write a law, because that is strictly a legislative branch function to write the law. And so by giving this commission the authority to create a law, the fact of what the salary would be an unlawful delegation. So I don't read this as being binding, only that the legislature could come back and through a bill not adopt the salaries established by the commission, or the legislature could just not appropriate the money. So I don't think of it as binding, because I don't think that would be a lot of delegation to the commission to do that.
We've asked Mr. Nelson.
Issue that I mentioned first, which is having one executive branch body, the commission, establishing salaries for the other branches. That seems like another constitutional issue that we haven't seen any resolution. There's one third issue, and that is there's a question about whether the legislature can give, which the bill does, the president and the speaker, the authority to appoint members to an executive branch agency. It's not unheard of. I mean, we do that all the time, like task forces and so on. But to an executive branch agency that is actually executing the laws, that's very rare. I only know a couple of examples. One is the Workforce Investment Act and the workforce, the state workforce board. It has legislators appointed by the presiding officers. But that whole system was created by federal law, so it would preempt any problem we have in order. The only other agency I know of that has legislators, and they're strictly advisory members, they're not voting members, is the Public Employees Benefit Board. But there's some concern in my office that's the anomaly, that it's, there is a separation of powers issue about legislature appointing folks who are on executive boards and commissions.
That's right. In fact, our review of the commission that it wasn't until 1999 that the commission became active in Washington.
Theoretically, based on the recommendations of this commission, the legislature just give us up a based on our recommendations, but all these constitutional quagmires that we're talking about, that would be one option.
The legislature currently has an authority to set salaries for all three members.
They also go to the political party.
Yeah.
We never get away from it. We just simply don't get away from it. We all know how low legislators are paid. We all know the responsibilities and what the responsibilities are paid by elected office. So what we try to do here is to fashion something that allows for an independent review based upon certain kinds of criteria to establish salaries on the path to elected responsibilities. And at the same time, to remove some of the political aspects of the process, but at the same time to retain the legislature's final authority to make decisions if they have that. As such, there's a little bit about what's in the bill. You have members appointed by the executive branch, members of each branch, governor of the legislature and the judicial branch. And in this case, we have five members.
Salaries. Now, in terms of the constitutional issue, and I understand what's been explained here, clearly we would prefer that this would be enacted by statute because we can move quicker into this arena, but you all have to decide whether they're truly constitutional kinds of issues. Now, we look at it, and the eventual decision is still rested with the legislature, as it is now. legislature decides whether or not they're going to increase anybody's salary, all the way down to a secretary if they want so to choose. We think that power still resides with the legislature. But this gives a sort of a one-step remove, as you call it, I think it's
a super recommendation.
But the legislature, if in their judgment they feel that one or two or all of the recommendations are recommendations that they don't agree with, they can simply reject them. And as Mr. Latimer has said, you have the default position of the issue of the appropriation, which you can never remove from the authority of the legislature. As a practical matter, we believe that the legislature chooses not to reject the recommendations, they're going to choose to fund the recommendations. As a practical matter, so we think it's a good approach. It doesn't mean we should have all, as I think Senator Morris suggested, everyone chosen by lot, whether how that changes the constitutional issues. That could be another option. There's nothing written in stone here except for the concept of let's get it out of some of the political aspects that we're dealing with today, and we will constantly deal with. You can't wish them away. We elect 90 different members every time, and you know they're going to respond the way they respond. But I think you can formulate or you can cause some rational discussion and comparisons as to what these salaries properly should be and make that decision. But that's why we're here.
Commissioner Martin.
In my experience in this area, which is not extensive, but a fair amount, I guess, one of the things that is important in determining salary ranges is what's your strategy. So, for example, I worked with HP. We said we were going to pay among the leaders. And that put us in a band, a strategy. So if you think about legislators, you know, we could say we're going to pay legislators comparable to private sector jobs. And then you go out there and try to find something that's comparable, and you could have $150,000 legislators. Or you could say we're going to have our intent is to have a salary that is not an insult. You know, it actually could be a living, somebody could actually live on it, but we're not going to try to match comparable jobs in the industry. So, you know, it's something that gives you $50K a year instead of 14 or whatever it is. So I think we have to address what's the strategy? What is it we're trying to accomplish? And I don't see how that is in, I don't know where it should be, but it's not in this bill, and it seems like it's something we have to wrestle with because eventually gets to the voters. So what is it we're trying to accomplish? And this is more of the legislative side maybe than on the executive side, but I think it's something that has to be confronted. What is it we're trying to accomplish? Because it makes a big difference on where you end up.
I can speak to that just in terms of what the Washington Commission looks to as comparators and what the current law, Public Officials Compensation Commission, establishes. Both of the Washington Commission looks at the NCSL comparators, which is other legislative bodies, and city and other county officials that perform functions of the same breadth and requiring similar knowledge as a legislature, who's a member of the Washington legislature. And under the current law, the comparators are comparable positions in neighboring states, the qualifications and skills necessary for each office, the level of responsibility, cost of living, budget limitations, and other factors that are considered to be reasonable, appropriate, and in the public interest.
So that, can I have a follow-up question would be, so you have Oregon, which is a neighboring state, California, which is almost a neighboring state.
A neighboring nation.
Yeah. So you have, what, $120K for a California legislator, and you have 14 or something for Oregon legislators. So, I mean, that's such a why. It's a 10x difference.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, when you give somebody, well, I'll look at what's going on around, and yet, well, I got 14K on one hand, I got 120K on another hand. What do I average them? Or, you know, what's the reason I take one or the other?
And then, as I look at the Washington Commission model, the 7 of the legislative appointees have to have personnel management experience. So I guess the difference, you can go back to the question Commissioner Bernstein asked earlier, the value of the difference between the legislature making a decision and raising its salaries and the commission is the commission can do exactly what you're talking about, which is to dive into the value of what all of these positions do.
Because the first thing the experienced HR person is going to ask is, what's your strategy? Because they need that in order to know whether they're going to try to get it around 14 or whether they're going to try to get it around 120.
Right.
And somewhere we have to address, what's our strategy?
Mr. C. What seems to me, I'm interested in some of the things that Greg is saying. It seems to me that we were asked to be here because the public has some problems with the behavior of the legislature. And some of the things that one hears people say are, well, they don't like to make decisions. They don't like to deal with sensitive issues. It would seem to me that in addition to looking at the skills that are necessary, like you have to analyze policy, you have to actually be a counselor, you have judicial aspects to the job, looking at that kind of thing, that's a reasonable way to approach compensation. But I'd have a hard time recommending something that delegates an essential decision about budgets and impact on budgets and legislative costs and legislative operations, and you know, I probably voted for this in 1983, but I'd sort of like to recommend something to the legislature that says you're in a job where you really are supposed to make decisions. And that's your job. You're making decisions on laws and on regulations and things. And I think you ought to stand up and bite the bullet and do it. And I think the public would respect that. And when you get to the point where you're worried more about whether you get elected than whether you make the right decision, then you ought to go do another job. And so I'm just sharing my feeling about that with the rest of the commission. But I like the idea of the kind of of looking at the, of recommending to a public officials commission that they should look at the kinds of skills that are needed for the job.
So I'll raise the key before you left, if that's all right, and then send sure. And Senator Morse and Commissioner Morse.
So. I notice in this draft that you've added 3 new positions, the Chief Judge of the Appeals Court and the Chief Justice and District Attorney. District attorney salaries, how are they set currently?
They're set by the legislature.
And
the assistant district attorneys are not.
No. I know that. The problem is, it's what's happening in the counties is that the counties are all subsidizing DA salaries, I think. I know we are. And perhaps that would go away, and the state would pay the full freight on the DA salaries. But I think that shows the problem we face with the legislature setting salaries, because the DA, the county DA, is a very important position in Oregon government, and yet they don't set salaries at a level that, well, they would be paid less than their deputies, I think, in most cases.
The roots of this discussion go even deeper than what's the strategy, and that is, what's the position description? When I was recruited, it was a part-time job.
They lied to you.
They lied to me. And I think that discussion has to occur before we talk about the strategies for compensation. What is the job and what is the expectation? If the public wants a part-time legislature, that's one set of circumstances. If, in fact, the desire is a full-time legislature, that's a whole different set of circumstances. And what is it that we, as legislators, should be? Should we be recognized right up front, called for what it is, a full-time job? And if that then is the case, that takes us down a road much different than if it's a part-time job.
Yeah, I think, and related to what Senator Morse just said, I think one of the fundamental premises behind a citizen legislature is that anybody can do it. And for a job that anybody can do, the salaries usually don't pay very much. So in some ways, you almost have to attack the whole or deal with the whole fundamental premise of what is it you want your legislature to be. If it's a job that anybody can do, those are normally minimum wage jobs. At best, if it's a job that you're trying to create, that you're trying to attract a certain level of talent, then you're not really talking about a citizen legislature. You're talking about a level of professionalism and qualifications and skills that would require a certain level of pay to attract it. So I'm not sure we can address the salary issue without also addressing the whole question of, are we really talking about a citizen legislature, or are we really talking about something else?
I was going to ask Mark a question, but he has a conference call at 10. I'm supposed to be on it. But if I may respond to Commissioner Mertens' question, and to a large extent what Commissioner Bernstein said. We've seen some changes, some huge changes over time in the legislature. And one of the, I think, this is my own personal view, one of the undesirable changes is the diminution of the number of lawyers that are here. From Marjorie's chart, you'll see it's dropping like a rock, not like a rock, but it's sliding down the hill. And I don't think lawyers are the alpha and omega of making laws at all. But I think they add value. And there was a period of time when we had enough lawyers that the effort was to have an attorney on every committee. Just keep committees from wandering off, because most legislative committee administrators aren't lawyers and all, and so they wander off in some area, and then Ann's predecessors would have to haul them back into the real world of the law. So we see a drop in this group, and a number of the lawyers actually who come here don't want to be on the Judiciary Committee. They want to be on Ways and Means, or they want to get away from the law for a while, take a little breather from the law. So we don't even have eight attorneys here that are doing lawyer work. Dennis Richardson is over doing Ways and Means stuff. He didn't near the law. So I think that's an undesirable thing. And so that's one of the areas that I would want to see us say in our job description that we try to do. And the mid-career people, I think, are the hole that we've kind of created by the fact that people have to take a huge financial hit. And let me just throw one other thought, if I may. I don't know when our report is coming out. Pardon?
November.
So presumably after the election. Because there's some tie in my mind to what the commission just does generally, this committee especially, and the commission generally with the term limit initiative that's on the ballot, which is horrible, horrifying idea. We'll lose half the House in 2009. So half of them will be gone. And that's a bad outcome. And so we've got to be careful how we craft this. But I'm a believer that you somehow have got to, whether it's the Mark Nelson approach or the Washington approach, that somehow we've got to put a buffer in between the legislators and their own salaries.
So I'm a little lost on what the conversation is we're in right now. Okay, so if it is, we take the question on do we have a citizen legislature or not. Yeah, every legislature is a citizen, but that doesn't mean we're going to take high school graduates with no experience as the basis of our legislature. I think that would be very wise. And, you know, what is the job description? I mean, it seems like if we're going to do our job, we're going to have to come up with, we're going to have to put some stakes in the ground about what is the context we're claiming is the basis for the recommendations. So we make a statement about what do we mean by citizen legislature and what do we mean by full-time, part-time, given wherever we are in the 21st century. And I'm not sure how that fits into this discussion, so I'm not sure exactly what we're trying to do right now.
I have a response for you, but I don't want to.
I agree. I think the very helpful to guide us to a decision. In my mind, and this is just my thinking, on the how I see the decision tree, if you will, is the, and having kind of watched this conversation, is do you want to go to a commission model or do you want to make a straight-up recommendation on a salary level or workload or citizen, professional? I see those as two different paths, and the conversations and the level of discussion that we need to have differently. I mean, if we go to a, if we say, yeah, you know, in my mind, this is just me speaking, if we go to a commission model, we are in some ways saying, you know, we're going to, it's our commission's recommendation to ask an appointed group of people to discuss the things that we're talking about right now and make a decision. If the will of this group is to not go that way, if it's to go to a more, no, we want to dig into what's the workload, what's the position description, this is what we think the value of their time and effort is, that's, in my mind, another conversation. So I guess for me, and Mr. Kocher, jump in here, I guess in my mind the next step is for us to kind of figure out which way we want to go. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so I'm not for just taunting and saying we'll turn it over to a commission. I think we've been asked to do something about the legislature, of which this is a fundamental part, and we ought to weigh in on what we think.
So are we comfortable maybe taking kind of a straw poll here of where we want to go? Okay, so.
What do you want, a motion?
All right. Well, no. I don't want to formal. I just want to get a sense of you know, where we want to go with this conversation. If we want to, if the commission model is off the table, then I think Commissioner Bernstein.
I agree with Commissioner Merton that I think this commission can make a recommendation, and because I think the problem needs to be addressed sooner rather than later, and that's partly I think why we were appointed, and that's why I asked the initial question about, you know, political cover or that.
I
wish we'd had this conversation when we were voting on the session timing, because this conversation really gets at the crux of what we're trying to decide in this legislature. I'm not sure a citizen legislature is really possible anymore. I don't know. I do know that one of the problems with legislature is that, and I've talked to many past members and some current, is that it's unpredictable how long you're going to be in Salem. And even then, they're in Salem too long. And, of course, I agreed with Senator Morris in his amendment at the meeting when we did the timing. I think they are in session too long. And this legislature really doesn't have an effective interim to get ready for a session. So the question then becomes, what is a citizen legislator? And I have to agree with Commissioner Merton that you really don't want, I don't think, given the complexity of issues today, someone without some experience and background and ability. But on the other hand, I don't think that they have to be full-time either. So if we couch the definition of citizen legislature in part-time, but with some requirements for the job, then maybe we're better off. I think, on the one hand, I agree with Commissioner Merton, but I don't think it's politically real. I'm not sure that we'll ever get anywhere in this state getting decent salaries to attract good public officials with lots of experience and ability if we don't find a process to pay them well enough. So I'm caught between there with this notion of what is a definition of a citizen legislator and whether that means they have to be full-time.
I question you. Thank you. John, I watched the legislature since the Oregon one, since 1967, and I had a hard time even then thinking that it was a citizen legislature, because what it seemed to me you had was a lot of people who came from a lot of different backgrounds, and they were especially interested in their own background. So I always thought it was really a special interest legislature, no matter what we called it. And I don't know how you can today call it a part-time legislature, given the demands and the size, the increased size of districts and population and all that. I don't know how you can get back to a part-time unless you hire a lot of staff and tell them to go off and do it, and then the legislator works part-time, which they can't anyhow. So I don't know that it's, in my experience, I don't know that it's possible to even call it part-time. I think it's definitely a full-time demand, and I think we just have to face that.
So I'm gonna push back on you both just a little bit. So going back to the original question on the decision tree, which avenue would you rather pursue? A commission model or a straight-up recommendation?
You mean what we do?
Yes,
we make a recommendation
yes,
to...
Yes.
I'm all for making recommendations to the legislature about what we think they ought to do. Are you talking about deleting from law the compensation thing?
I don't know. That could be encompassed in a recommendation. But
it's a recommendation. It could be asked to look at what are the qualifications that are needed in today's legislature and to make some recommendations that way. But I'm all for saying to the legislature, this is what we think you ought to do.
This is what, when you say we ought to do, meaning, do you think, and I'm sorry I'm picking on you here, but do you think...
You aren't anywhere near picking on
me. Do you think we should make a recommendation that legislators should get paid X because of Y and Z, or do you think we should create a commission that should study it
I'm willing to say that I think that legislators should be compensated according to the skills that they need.
Okay.
And I'm willing to say that I think they need to have more than they get now. I don't know if we go to California. I'm willing to say that I don't think that they are part-time.
That's what I want to hear. I'm going to answer the same question, and then I'm going to push your help.
I do think that the commission would be a major step forward and a big help. I don't think this bill necessarily does it, though. I think if we're going to recommend legislation, then we ought to give a lot more direction to the commission to do the kinds of things that we're talking about doing here.
Yeah, commission could be part of our recommendation.
Exactly.
Sure. Okay.
Michelle.
Well, I guess I would go back to, I think it was a question that was, maybe I brought it up earlier about what is the problem now in attracting good legislators? I mean, right now under our system, when I first started in the legislature, my first session, 1983, they actually reduced the salary. The legislature reduced its own salary. We were making $684 a month. Okay? Now, we all, I mean, the legislature did it itself. And I guess you start, I want to start from the premise is, are the legislators that we have now inadequate? Does the public or someone who's interested in politics, interested in serving in the legislature, do they feel that they can't do it? I'm not sure that the, in terms of the quality of legislators, I don't think the quality of legislators has declined. In terms of whether people feel that they can't serve, that someone in the public, as Commissioner Bernstein mentioned, do they feel that they can't, that everyone doesn't have the ability to serve? And look, serving, public service is a sacrifice. I mean, we know that whatever you do in public service, if you're in the private sector, you would make more. That's my belief. So there's an element of that there. I mean, you're not going to pay legislators the top salary of whatever classification that we have. So there's going to be a degree of sacrifice. And so in terms of full-time, part-time, well, certainly the number of people who identify themselves as legislators, that certainly has grown. But I guess, are we really pricing people out of wanting to be legislators? I mean, if a lawyer, as Commissioner Barros talked about lawyers, well, you're just not going to make as much. If you choose to be a legislator, I mean, you're getting a cut in pay. I think that that's just the fact of it. If you have another career, the simple fact is you make a choice as to whether your career, realize you're going to have two careers and one of them is going to suffer. And that's it. I don't know if we have enough business legislatively to really say that we're full-time. And I know all of the stuff that is done outside the campaigning and all of those things. But there's a certain aspect of this that you kind of know that when you're coming in. Maybe you learn, maybe you have to actually, after you're elected, you realize you may say, oh, my God, what have I done to myself? but I guess I'm, now let me ask you a question in terms of the commission. What you have is you have a political problem here in that the legislators won't. I mean, they feel that they can't give themselves a raise politically. I do think that there needs to be a buffer there, and I think that a commission is as good as anything for that. I mean, to me, what we owe to legislators and those who want to be legislators, we owe them an opportunity to have something that will, I think that will be a buffer, that will make a recommendation. A commission makes a recommendation. It gives the legislature cover because they haven't come up with it themselves. I think having the aspect of it that I believe is very important is to have citizens. When you have citizens on a commission that are making the decision, then I think that gives the legislators a lot of cover, because these are their fellow citizens are making the recommendation. But I don't know how much we owe them beyond that, because there are so many things that I remember. I mean, when I started in the legislature, we had no interim staff. And so all that mail that you got in the interim that came to your house, if you didn't deal with it yourself, at that time, my spouse says, okay, you got X days to deal with this box of stuff here, or it's going out. when we finally decided to give ourselves interim staff, the Republicans wouldn't vote for it. They offered up one person who was quitting the legislature so that we could vote interim staff, so they could then turn around and use it against us that we voted for. Now, you know, this is again the legislature acting itself. So I think that I would want to have something that had some kind of flexibility, and a commission that had flexibility, and a commission that was perceived by the public, not just perceived, but a commission that would have integrity, so that people say, well, they're not just going to pad these legislator salaries. A commission that may decide, no, you don't get a raise. But it seems to me there has to be something ongoing, because I will acknowledge that it's a very difficult thing for legislators to deal with themselves. But I think we offer a legitimate buffer to make good recommendations, and I have no problem. And I think it has to be some kind of a commission, something that's ongoing to do that. So I guess I would favor the commission approach. At least there has to be a commission that would be, if we're going to make recommendations, a commission should be part of it.
Thank you for that. I'm going to pick on Commissioner Barrows now. You might have stepped out. We're trying to do is get a sense, going back to the decision tree, do we want to pursue a commission model, or do we want to pursue a as I'm describing, a straight-up recommendation possibly involving an actual amount and or that would go along with a job description and requirements and time commitment and those types of things. So we can get some work with it.
I think the way you're expressing that is confusing, causing some confusion. If I understand what you're saying, is it, do we just say, we think there ought to be a commission and that's kind of the end of it, and they go deal with all these things?
Right.
Or do we make some recommendations about how to approach this, one of which might be a commission as well? Right? If part of our discussion could be that we recommend a commission that operates a certain way.
Can I just add to that a little bit? Because I think the question is whether we're going to totally punt or not, or partially punt. In other words, a total punt would be, we think all of this ought to be decided by a commission, and therefore we haven't done anything. Yep. And so the commission then would have to deal with, is it a citizen, is it part-time, I mean, or are we going to say, are we going to deal with part of the questions by kind of defining, you know, how much time, you know, whether, or what, you know, quality of people we want to attract, and then the commission only sets the salary within the confines of those parameters. And so, so I guess the real question is, do we want to take it all on and just say this ought to be the salary? Do we want to divide it into two different aspects, one being the final number, the other being defining what we mean by a legislator? Or do we want to just punt totally and turn it over to a commission? And I guess I'm really opposed to the kind of total punt. I could live with, you know, a commission setting the number after we decide whether we're talking about legislators being full-time, part-time, whatever.
Yes, when this commission, our commission is done, then what happens after that? No, I'm saying that this is going to be an issue forever. And so what are we going, I mean, we make our recommendation, we have to do something that's lasting. This commission is, I don't know, when do we expire? Yeah, well, what I'm saying is we have to set something in place. Our responsibility is to set something in place that is going to solve this problem into perpetuity. And so we can make a, I mean, for us to say make a salary recommendation, boom, right here, well, you know, after a while, you know, we're back where we started. Salaries are low, blah, 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 blah. I mean, the thing about establishing an ongoing commission is that you have someone who's going to deal with this on and on. And one final thing, I think it's very important. I believe we heard from legislative counsel that in any event, there's going to have to be a vote of the people to implement this. Is that correct?
Possibly.
Well, I think that vote of the people is something that's very important. Because the thing is, if the people say this is how we want legislative salaries set, if the people say that, then you've, again, given some cover and some rationality to it where the public has some input in setting up what the process is. I'm not talking about, obviously, the public dealing with particular salaries, but I think we do have to set, this commission needs to set something up that is going to be ongoing, because we've had situations where we've tried, you know, tying it to judges' salaries and all of that, and then that just kind of falls apart. There has to be something that is going to be ongoing, or sooner or later we're going to be right back and another commission is going to be sitting here talking about the same things.
I think I'm hearing a semi-consensus here, and except for Commissioner Steeves, and I don't disagree. I don't disagree with it. I do think that we should pursue the commission approach, but that commission needs to have some, we don't just punt it to the commission. We give that commission some parameters about what their role is and what they should be looking at and what a legislator needs to be.
Yeah, what the context is that they're operating inside.
Could I ask you
one final thing? One of the problems we're having on it, that I think we're having on this commission, is we're making these decisions in an ad hoc way. We made the session timing decision ad hoc. We're making this decision ad hoc. We're really not talking about, as a commission, what we want this legislature to look like and how we want it to function as in total. And so the thing that this commission discussion that we've had today does, it really is going to get into that whole issue of what kind of legislature do we want to have.
Well, in response to that, I think if we, by bringing up some of these issues and making decisions maybe in an ad hoc way, we also point out the problem. And then in full commission meetings, we can use those decisions as a basis to confront how well that's working as a system.
Good. Okay.
Point of information for Commissioner, are you talking about a commission, an entirely new thing, or are you talking about the Public Officials Compensation Commission amended and revised, or what?
The latter.
Okay. Good. So a statutory one?
Yes.
Thank you.
Now, we can get to the point whether lawyers will argue about whether it has to be constitutional or not. Nobody seemed to want to do a constitutional amendment on the timing, so I'll stay away from constitutional amendments.
That's right.
Well, he does and I do, and maybe Senator Morris does, but we were in the minority.
That's been there before.
Well, I think we need a sense of how we're going to resolve this in a meeting and a half. So, any suggestions?
Yeah, I think we take on the questions that have been raised in an order that, from the broadest to more narrow, and I don't know which is broader, is it a citizen legislature and what's the job description, but I think we could put both of those together and say, okay, what is it we want? What kind of legislators are we looking for? How are we going to define citizen legislator? And I don't think it ought to be anybody. That means anybody. But everybody that is a legislator ought to be a citizen. I think we can come up with a definition that has citizen in it and also has competence in it.
and then we take a position about full time, part time, what time, and we then on that basis make a recommendation about how to approach what that compensation is.
I didn't know who was first.
I guess I want to punt a little bit on the citizen part of it, because I don't want to discourage necessarily the high school grad or less than high school grad who, you know, decides that this is what they want to do and they, you know, have a commitment and passion to do it. I think in some ways really what we have to decide is whether we want a full-time legislature or not, or whether we want to compensate people based on the theory that they work more than the 3 months out of the year, and they have to figure out how much more time they spend. But what would be a reasonable compensation level for the position of a legislator, whether that's full time or part time, and just kind of let the commission then, you know, set that number.
I'm not suggesting you can't, that we eliminate groups of people.
No, first, we have Commissioner Barrows in the queue. I'm sorry.
And Rick said what I wanted to suggest, which is we can spend a week talking about what a legislator should look like and what the legislative membership should look like, and it doesn't matter. Because at the end of the day, some groups of 10,000 voters make that call. And they're not going to read our commission report and say, oh, I was going to vote for this one, but now I think I'll vote for this one because it meets the criteria. We can't write a job description about a job at Hewlett-Packard kind of thing, Greg, and say to the voters, that's what you ought to be voting for. They're going to vote for whoever they want for whatever reasons. And a lot of times they make really good decisions. Sometimes they don't make such great decisions in somebody's judgment. So I think it's an interesting discussion, but I don't think it has any great huge value. Now, whether or not we talk about whether the workload has increased dramatically, and I shared with you guys before, I think maybe in a full commission meeting, when I was the mail clerk in 57, if a legislator got three pieces of mail in a day, they were getting inundated. That's all changed. The public has found the legislature since 1957. And now they all do the kind of level of work that Frank and Jane did when she was here and all. I mean, it's a big job all the time, every day. And so we ought to try and figure out a way to get the good, competent, high-quality people the best we can get without breaking the bank.
Without doing California.
Yeah, without doing a California, giving them a car and a credit card and every other darn thing like they do down there. But, you know, are we, and I think the question, or a good question that I think Jim asked or somebody was, are we getting good quality people now? Is the quality of the legislators today of good quality? And the answer is yes. But are we keeping certain groups of people out of running? And the answer to that is yes. So.
And whatever you pick, you will.
Right. And so,
just a different.
I'd like to ratchet it up some, and the way to do it, I think, is through a commission, a separate, distinct. The legislature doesn't have to say, "I'm going to raise my salary."
But we're going to make records.